What he had once hoped for the flock, he now gained for himself alone. He learned to fly, and was not sorry for the price he had to pay. Jonathan Livingston Seagull discovered that boredom, fear, and anger are the reasons that a gull's life is so short. And, with these gone from his thought, he lived a long, fine life indeed. They came in the evening then, and found Jonathan gliding peaceful and alone through his beloved sky. The two gulls that appeared at his wings were pure as starlight, and the glow from them was gentle and friendly in the high night air. But most lovely of all was that the skill with which they flew, their wingtips moving a precise and constant inch from his own. Without a word, Jonathan put them to his test, a test that no gull had ever passed. He twisted his wings. He slowed to a single mile per hour above stall. The two radiant birds slowed with him smoothly, locked in position. They knew all about slow flying. He folded his wings, rolled and dropped in a dive of 190 miles per hour. They dropped with him, streaking down in flawless formation. At last, he turned that speed straight up into a long, vertical, slow roll. They rolled with him, smiling. He recovered the level flight and was quiet for a time before he spoke, and he said, "Well then, who are you?" "We're from your flock, Jonathan. We're your brothers." The words were strong and calm. "We've come to take you higher, to take you home." "Home, I have none. Flock, I have none. I'm an outcast. And we fly now at the peak of the great mountain wind. Beyond a few hundred feet, I can lift this old body no higher." "But you can, Jonathan, for you have learned. One school is finished, and the time has come for another to begin." And as it had shined across him all of his life, so understanding lighted that moment for Jonathan Livingston Seagull. They were right. He could fly higher, and it was time to go home. He gave one long last look across the sky, across the magnificent silver land where he had learned so much. "I'm ready," he said at last. And Jonathan Livingston Seagull rose with the two star-bright gulls to disappear into a perfect dark sky. We think of the story of Easter, and we think of the story of the life of Jesus the Christ, and we think, what an amazing being he is, what an amazing man, what an amazing consciousness. And he said the things he does we should do also. On this day, which is Easter Sunday, we understand a little bit about what he was talking about. We understand what Jesus was going through. He had been sent to the far cliffs, just like Jonathan. He had been abandoned by his flock. All of his disciples left him and said, "You're on your own, boy." All stood apart. And he went through his crucifixion, and then they buried him. But when they buried him, they didn't really get a hold of him. He was on his far cliff. They put him in his tomb, they rolled the stone up there, but that did not affect him. All he did was say, "Okay, one life is finished and another is about to begin." And he left behind all semblance of the body that he had once had. The body with its imperfections of the piercing sword wound and so forth, and the nail holes and so forth. And so he didn't believe in the stigmata. He didn't believe in all those things, but he rose from that. And so, as he was ready to continue with his life, he rolled this stone away from the tomb. And the garment that he put on was a garment that was radiant and beautiful, even more beautiful than the seamless robe that he no longer had. He was buried in a sackcloth. He was not buried in his robe. But he had this beautiful garment on, and he left the tomb. And as he left the tomb, he saw these ladies walking along, and he greeted them. And he went on, and eventually went to the upper room, where he greeted his disciples. And they didn't recognize him, because he had left behind the Jesus Christ, the Jesus man that they had known, and he had taken on this star-bright gull garment. He was ready to fly on higher. But before he flew on higher, he wanted to tell them a few things. He wanted to say to them, I gave you a message. Now, go and live it if you will. That's my message at Easter time. I gave you a message. My message at Easter time is, I'm ready to go on higher and fly into my next dimension and all the other dimensions that I'm in. Are you ready to let me go? Or are you going to hold on to me and worship me? Or are you going to worship the ideas that I presented to you? What are you going to do? Jesus said to them. And all they did was argue. All they did is say, who is sitting at which side of your throne? Who is there with you? And so he said, I must go so the Comforter can come. He said that before and he says it again. I must go so that within each one of you the Comforter can come. And he left. Now today, we still have not got the message. Though we were all there at the crucifixion, though we were all there at the resurrection, though we are there at the resurrection daily in our lives, we do not get the message. The message is to be ourselves and have fun. The message is to go out and make no promises to anyone, but just love yourself and be honorable to yourself. Whatever promises you have made in the past, dispose of them. You're no longer bound by them. You're now free to set yourself a new course in your life. And this is what Jesus, the man, taught us to do and what the Christ Spirit in each one of us wants us to do. Are you ready to do that? Yes. Are you ready to be yourself and have fun? Are you ready to let go of the past?
Yes.
Are you ready to forget judging yourself and judging others in your world and just be yourself and enjoy yourself? When you're ready, it's ready for you. But it's not going to be easy. Because letting go of old hurts and letting go of old attitudes and letting go of old expectations is not going to be easy. When Ellen's son calls and says, Mommy, I have a hurt, is she going to feel the hurt for him? Or is she going to say, Son, I am the Christ. I see you whole and perfect. Be that for you now. Or is she going to say, Oh, I hurt for you. You're my son. I feel your pain. Oh, I sense you. And you know, if that's what she's going to play, then she hasn't risen. Then the Christ is still in the tomb for her. And we want to let the Christ out of the tomb, out of the tomb of our delinquent self that says it can't be so, because it is so, and it's wonderfully so. Let every morning sunrise be an awakening call to each of us of the divine within us, that we're ready to live on this level of awareness, letting go of the past, living fully in the now, and enjoying every single moment of it. Can you do that?
Mm-hmm.
You want to. I know everyone wants to. But just practice it. Practice it, practice it, practice it. And remember, nobody cares if you don't practice it, and you care if you do practice it. So, I see the Christ in you right now as 100% of who you are. And so it is. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.